Let me just remind listeners, there's going to be a lot more rare, unusual material of Stan McDonald playing soprano mostly, but some clarinet with all stars in part three of this series, which is going to feature not only Doc Cheatham, but a number of outstanding piano players, the great Sammy Price, Art Hodes, and some other amazing stuff from his personal archive and library, spanning some 60 years of jazz performance. Stands at his home in Sherburn, Massachusetts. Tell me a little about your home. As I understand, it's an historic home.
It's in the National Register of Historic Places, yep. It was built in 1838, and it was the home of Reverend Edmund Douse, famous historic family here in town. He was the pastor of the village church for 67 years, and of course it's a job to keep it up, but I'm proud to have it.
So you've spent most of your life in and around Massachusetts in the Boston area.
Right.
Stanley, you've become quite an important fixture in the traditional jazz scene in your area.
Yeah, I suppose so. We play locally, as you know, at the Sherburn Inn, which is just a mile from here, the most convenient gig I've ever played.
You've played major venues all around Boston and been a guest many times on some of the local public radio stations there?
Yes, that's true. Played live on there several times.
So after the 60s, you spent pretty much the 1970s and first couple of years of the 1980s with the New Black Eagle Jazz Band. But then you formed a band on your own. What's your concept for the Blue Horizon Jazz Band?
In the simplest sense, it's just to have a good improvising band that can play the traditional jazz repertoire or adapt other things to it, and swings. And
so you've been the leader and musical director of Blue Horizon since the early 80s, but you've had a couple of really great players with you over the years.
Oh, well, I have for sure. I don't know which I would put on top of the list unless it were Walt Miller, the trumpet player. Walt passed away about 6 years ago now. We've missed him a lot.
Walt sounds really great on most of this Blue Horizon Jazz Band material from the mid-1980s.
He played with Buck Clayton in Paris, I think, years and years ago. And so he had a very, very deep grounding in the music and the history and the sources, you know. And that always enlarged our depth.
We're just about to turn to some of the Blue Horizon Jazz Band material to a performance at the Sticky Wicket Pub in 1986. We've mentioned the Sticky Wicket Pub earlier, but not really talked about its significance on the traditional jazz scene in the Boston area.
The Black Eagles started the gig at the Sticky Wicket, I believe, in 71. The word spread and people would come from far and wide. It's defunct now. I think we were the first band of that kind. And then there were other traditional bands who would visit there, the traditional jazz band of Sao Paulo, Brazil, a couple of English bands, Max Colley, I think, including Ralph Sutton.
We've got a set of tunes here that also reflect your love for the music of Cindy Bechet. Nuage reflects this rhapsodic, very evocative side of Bechet.
Oh, yeah, operatic almost, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't listen to Sidney without feeling rhapsodic, you know. Of course, I copy a lot of his phrases note for note, and I'm not ashamed of that, because if it can't be improved upon, then play it again. That's the way I think of it.
Let's listen to your interpretation of sort of different sides of Bechet. Nuage, which is this rhapsodic, operatic side of Bechet, as you say, and Wild Man Blues, a favorite of Bechet. I know he recorded it more than once.
Wild Man Blues is variously attributed to Jelly Roll and to Louis Armstrong. He would play a quicker tempo, a faster version of it. It's one of those tunes that can be treated as a very slow number. Or stop-a-dee-bum-ba-dum-da-da-doo-da-dee-dum-dum, a little faster, you know. Bechet played it in a little brisker tempo that really swung.
Thank you. We've been listening to, and I've been talking with Stan McDonald. That set was his Blue Horizon Jazz Band from late 1986, live at the Sticky Wicket Pub, as I understand it, just west of Boston. We heard Nuage and Wild Man Blues. We're just about to wrap up here this first of three programs, and it's been so great, Stan, to be able to have access to this library of hundreds of tapes of performances that you've collected over the years.
Well, it's an honor, really, to have you work on this so assiduously, Dave. I appreciate it more than I can tell you.
Well, I appreciate that. This has been a chance for you to kind of go back over some of your earlier recordings. To give you any pause or thoughts that come up?
Oh, yes. Very emotional ones. Actually, I've been surprised to discover how good some of that stuff is. Some of it I had never listened to, by the way, in 50 years. And going back and hearing something that I would not have expected to be as good as it was, it has been a real thrill. Of course, that's not true of everything, but there was a lot more good stuff there than I ever imagined.
Well, I think for our listeners who either have not been aware of you or have a passing acquaintance from your decade with the New Black Eagle Jazz Band, this has been a revelation to find this major body of work that you've created over a half century.
Well, I'm so glad you helped me discover it or rediscover it, as I've been really too busy over the years to go back and reflect on it, you know.
Again, these are exclusive materials you've been listening to from the personal library of Stan McDonald. There'll be two more programs in this series. The next one will feature Stanley's interpretation of the music of Sidney Bechet, and the third one will be some extreme rarities with Doc Cheatham, Sammy Price, Art Hodes, among others. So it's been a pleasure to be able to talk with you, and I'm looking forward to our next two programs, Stan.
Well, so am I, Dave, and I thank you very much.
We found something in your performance with the New Black Eagle Jazz Band live in Connecticut in early 1980. This is just a delightful, as I say, rhapsodic, Bechet-influenced interpretation of Sunny Side of the Street.
I think I liked that particular version. It was never released.
Yeah, Sunny Side of the Street is almost one of these cliched songs. I've heard an awful lot of performances, very few that I appreciate as much as this one.
Well, thank you. It can be cliched, but like anything else, it's not so much what you play, but how. As for the rhapsodic side, there is a brooding element in Bechet that runs deep in me, too. So that's where the emotion comes from, that you can put into any vehicle. And Sunnyside happens to be an excellent vehicle. Brooding, nostalgic, romantic. The passion that Bechet plays with is... That's the hallmark of his playing. I get very bored by people who may be wonderful technical players but aren't expressing anything, you know, whether it's joy or sadness or whatever. But I want to hear some personal emotion in there, you know.
And you want to bring that yourself into your own music.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You've certainly succeeded at doing that. And I think the listeners will agree as we go out with On the Sunny Side of the Street, Stan McDonald, featured on soprano saxophone in 1980. Featured artist with the New Black Eagle Jazz Band. Thank you.
Thank you.